You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The government's announcement of Budget 2024 was responded to with widespread protests across the Motu, held in opposition to numerous aspects of the coalition government's policies, but largely focusing on the dissolution of organizations dedicated to improving outcomes for Māori, which many said violated the government's Te Tiriti obligations. Preceding the budget announcement, Te Pāti Māori announced calls to establish a separate Māori parliament based on the concept of Te Kotahitanga, or Māori unity, that dates back to the 1800s. I spoke to Eru Kapakingi, professional teaching fellow in the Faculty of Law at the University of Auckland and vice president of Te Pāti Māori, to talk about Kotahitanga, Māori parliament, and what it might look like.
Was there a specific aspect of the budget or a breaking point that led to the call by Te Pāti Māori to form this separate parliament?
No, if you examine the timing, the Te Ngako o Te Iwi Māori, or the call to establish a Māori parliament, or our own version of what a parliament might look like, was before the budget announcement at 2 p.m. that afternoon. We put it out about 1 p.m. out on parliament steps. So at that point, we couldn't have known the exact details of the budget, but it wouldn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that the budget was going to be less than peanuts in respect of specific Māori funding for kaupapa Māori. And of course, what eventuated was exactly that. So there was no particular aspect of the budget specifically, but it's the general attitude and approach of this government that was sworn in, and its coalition of chaos, and its outright bold attacks on Te Iwi Māori that has influenced a call for a Māori parliament. But we also have to recognise that a Māori parliament is not a new idea. There was a Māori parliament called the Kotahitanga that existed throughout the 1800s and through to the early 1900s. And then for reasons such as lack of resource and critical mass in terms of support, that it had kind of gone to sleep, if that makes sense. So it's not a new idea, but it's a revival of what Tupuna Māori advocate for in their time.
Could you give us an idea of what a Māori parliament might look like and how it would function?
I can definitely talk about what the previous iteration, or the first iteration of a Māori parliament looked like. There were two houses, one called Te Whare o Runga, which was an upper house function, and Te Whare o Raro, which was another house function. And each of the members that sat in the parliament were elected to represent their rohe, their region and their people, aligned with, of course, the iwi and hapu affiliations. And they made decisions on behalf of their people in respect of policy and legislative ideas. At that time, it was focused mainly around the retention and protection of Māori land, because at that time, that's when the Crown was stealing pretty much all of our whenua. So in terms of a modern development of what that would look like, I think there would be greater space for Te Reo Māori, Te Tonga Māori, and even maybe not even using that label parliament, and truly indigenising a model of leadership, a model that's based on culture, and that governs society in a way that is centred and anchored in Māori philosophy. The thing you have to recognise as well when asking these questions is that our starting point is that we are an oppressed people, right? We are an oppressed people and have been colonised for the greater part of 200 years. And so the reimagination phase of what a Māori future might look like, it's not an easy discussion to have. Our starting points are a bit skewed. We battle against assumptions that dehumanise us, biases and existing systems that dehumanise and oppress us. And so it's not a candid discussion for academic entertainment purposes. These are lives, Māori lives at stake. So it's a high-stakes conversation, but it's also a difficult one to have, because at the same time we have to decolonise ourselves and our thinking in the process, and it's a generational thing too. So definitely not something that can be covered in an interview like this, but the point of our release of the declaration was to kickstart the conversation and start to socialise the idea of a new reality, a reality different to our current reality as Te Iwi Māori.
Going back to the structure of the Māori parliament, would it function like our current parliament and the kind of parliamentary bodies we see in Western democracies, or would it exist in some other form?
That's not for me to decide on my own. There will be a long consultation process to kind of work out those details and the underpinning philosophies of what this body will look like and how it will function. But I can almost certainly say that our people would transform fundamentally and philosophically away from the system that we currently know, right? Otherwise, it would just be recycling our current reality as opposed to truly engineering and creating a new reality. And a lot of that will be embedded again in the revival of Tikanga Māori, Māori law, and Māori philosophy.
Would the Māori Parliament work alongside the current New Zealand government to enact laws and make administrative decisions, or would it function as a completely separate entity?
Well, yeah, that's an interesting question too, because this all centres on and goes back to the truth of Te Tiriti o Waitangi. So Te Tiriti o Waitangi, it was never envisaged in that agreement that Pākehā would set up a government and parliament that would control Pākehā and Māori and Aotearoa, right? The agreement was that Pākehā could set up their own government to control Pākehā people and Aotearoa, its own subjects, the Queen's own subjects, and on the condition that that government could never overshadow the rangatiratanga of Māori, right? So it could never disturb the sovereignty, the absolute sovereignty of the Māori people. But obviously that's what it has done since 1853 and has completely cut across the words of Te Tiriti o Waitangi. So Te Tiriti o Waitangi and Ngākaputanga, our Declaration of Sovereignty 5 years prior to Te Tiriti o Waitangi, are the centre points and anchors for this new body, parliament, Māori parliament, and therefore must realign and recalibrate with the words of those constitutional documents, which are the only reason why Pākehā could ever live here in the first place. So the question is the wrong way around. It's not whether the Māori Parliament is going to work with Pākehā institutions. The question always should have been whether Pākehā institutions are going to work in a way that respects Māori, mana Māori, and tino rangatiratanga Māori. And the minimum extent to which this Māori Parliament will, I guess, begrudgingly have to work with the existing power structures is the reclamation of Māori resource. No, a Māori Parliament is not going to operate if it doesn't have the resource to do so. So this is about land back, this is about mana back, the administration of our own money, our own tax, our Māori bank system, our Māori education system, Mokopuna Māori authority. Absolute independence is the ultimate goal for Te Iwi Māori. But the other thing that Pākehā need to realise is that that's not something for them to fear. Right? Māori liberation, Māori independence does not equal Pākehā oppression. And that's the underlying fear of a lot of Pākehā, which comes from a place of being uneducated and being unaware of the true history of Te Tiriti o Waitangi and Aotearoa, as well as Tikanga Māori and Māori philosophies. But there are also a lot of tangata tiriti out there who know the truth and see the light of the cause of Māori independence. So Te Tiriti o Waitangi was my tupuna creating a place for Pākehā to live in Aotearoa. So a Māori parliament does not mean kicking all Pākehā out of Aotearoa. It could never have meant that. It means a place where we can thrive and be free in ourselves and at the same time for everyone and all peoples to thrive in Aotearoa. That's always what Te Tiriti envisaged. That's the truth behind Te Tiriti o Waitangi.
So lastly, would you say that there's strong support for a separate parliament amongst the majority of Māori?
Our petition is growing, and as we socialise it over the next few years, it will continue to grow. It's an inevitable trajectory that we are moving towards change. Exactly what that looks like and exactly what we call it is yet to be determined. But Māori liberation is on the horizon. We're on our way to that.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.